Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 52 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
A business in Flatwoods was raided today by Homeland Security.
The cases of three people accused in the death of two Winchester teens will head to the grand jury.
Kentucky's Secretary of State is supporting medical marijuana.
Streetside parking has been removed from Moorhead's Allen Avenue.
West Liberty is still rebuilding after the 2012 tornado.
In sports, the Moorhead State women's team got a big win at home today.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers tonight with a low around 40 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Multiple law enforcement agencies are on the scene of a business in Flatwoods this afternoon. Kentucky State Police tell WSAZ a Homeland Security investigation is currently underway. Federal agents are also on the scene. The business, Tri-State Enterprise, is located on Argolite Road in Flatwoods. According to the company's website, it started in 1992 as a lawn care landscaping company. The company then expanded to include construction in 1995 and then heating and air conditioning in 2011.
A Richmond woman was carjacked in Powell County on her way to work this morning. WKYT reports 28-year-old Freddie Reed Jr. stole the vehicle of a teacher after she pulled over to help with the accident he was involved in. According to the Powell County Sheriff's Office, the teacher offered to help after coming across a wreck near Estill County High School at around 7:30 this morning. That's when Reed forced himself into her car and made her drive him away from the scene to a house in Powell County. He allegedly forced her to give him her cell phone before she escaped. Police found Reed after raiding a home on James Road. Reed is being housed in the Powell County Jail on kidnapping charges.
Three suspects charged in the deaths of two 16-year-old Winchester girls appeared in court this afternoon. According to WKYT, Winchester Police Sergeant Tom Beal testified their case against 18-year-olds Michaela Buford and Ronnie Ellis, 24-year-old Denzel Hill, and 22-year-old Darian Skinner. Police charged all four with complicity to murder for the deaths of 16-year-old Kayla Holland and Andriana Castro. Sergeant Beal told the court the two witnesses identified Ellis Hill and Skinner and said that all three fired guns. Beal also testified that Matthew Carman fired back at the trio. Castro and Holland died after getting caught in the crossfire, Beal said. Lexington police captured Carman and Julia Richardson last Friday night at the Maple Leaf Shopping Center. Carman, too, faces a charge of complicity to murder. Police charged Richardson with evidence tampering. The judge waived the case against Buford, Hill, and Skinner to a grand jury. The preliminary hearing for Ellis was postponed until November 29th.
One person is dead and two others injured after a car crash in Clark County last night. WKYT reports first responders were called to Ecton Road just east of Winchester around 7:30 p.m. Police say a car ran off the shoulder of the road, hit a concrete bridge abutment, and fell into a creek where it ended up catching fire. Authorities say two people passing by pulled a woman from the car before it caught fire. The Clark County coroner says 16-year-old Dylan Fields died at the scene. The male driver and female passenger were both injured. Their names have not been released.
Mason County is joining more than 35 other Kentucky counties in a lawsuit against opioid manufacturers. The Ledger Independent reports county commissioners voted to take part in legal action yesterday with the goal of winning financial compensation for the costs associated with the opioid epidemic. County officials say overdose deaths in the region are on the rise, requiring increased investment in Narcan and extra training on how to use it. Eight different law firms are representing Kentucky's governmental plaintiffs against the three largest opioid distribution companies in the nation. Mason's assistant county attorney says the litigation is part of a nationwide push modeled after the tobacco lawsuits of the 1990s to hold companies responsible for the advertising, marketing, and promotion of their products.
Forceful removal of state prisoners from the Boyd County Detention Center could be costly, WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
The county could lose as much as $700,000 in revenue this fiscal year. Until September, the Boyd County Jail had routinely housed prisoners of the state with the approval of the Kentucky Department of Correction and the Fiscal Court. the county was paid $31 per inmate per day. According to the Daily Independent, the DOC ordered the jail to house only 90 prisoners in the older section of its facility after a riot temporarily closed BCDC in August. When the DOC learned the jail had 160 inmates in late September, they began removing prisoners who were not facing local charges. Deputy Judge Executive Ed Regunas issued a warning on county spending Tuesday during the fiscal court's monthly meeting. A full report of revenues and expenses will be presented during the fiscal court's January meeting. For WMKY News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
The State House is looking to update various vehicular fees that haven't been looked at in years. House work groups have been examining the problem within the state's road fund and will likely request to increase various registration and licensing fees. That's according to Representative Sal Santoro, the co-chair of that panel. Santoro says Kentucky roads and bridges are deteriorating and the fees are outdated, adding that they are over 40 years old.
We need to adjust them to the present time. Registration fee, 1981 was the last time. I think it's time to evaluate these.
Santoro says the work group prepares its proposal for next year's session. The state gas tax formula could also be an option.
Kentucky's Secretary of State is joining the push to legalize medical marijuana in Kentucky. KNN's Paul Miles reports.
Allison Ludrigan Grimes is convening a task force to focus on a legislative proposal to legalize medical marijuana. In a statement, Grimes says too many Kentuckians are suffering from debilitating physical and mental illnesses, and we must do more to relieve their pain and suffering. The task force will also study and propose potential implementation and regulation processes. It will be co-chaired by Democratic Representative John Sims, who's crafting medical marijuana legislation for next year. I'm Paul Miles.
We'll have more of your local news right after this.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and sponsor of Moorhead's Hometown Holidays. On Saturday, December 2nd, the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Moorhead State University, Hometown Holiday on Main Street, and Cave Run Symphony Orchestra concert at the Moorhead Conference Center. The Moorhead Rowan County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Center, and Christmas Parade on Main Street Friday, December 8th. Events and information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Moorhead City Council passed the second reading of an ordinance to remove streetside parking on Allen Avenue at Monday night's regular meeting. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the decision was prompted by safety concerns from residents.
And we went up and had it looked at. We had several people study it, from our public works department to our law enforcement and other emergency response. And again, had a talk to the neighbors that would be directly affected. It was overwhelmingly in favor of painting both sides, which we did.
Trent says removing parking on Allen Avenue will make it easier for larger vehicles to pass through.
Election season has kicked off in Carter County. So far, incumbent Sheriff Jeff Mays, jailer R.W. Boggs, County Attorney Brian Bays, Circuit Clerk Larry Thompson, Magistrate James Wilburn, and Judge Executive Mike Malone have filed to run once again. Former Magistrates Millard Cordell and Clifford Sodbuster Rowe have also filed to run for Judge Executive on the Democratic ticket. County Clerk Mike Johnston is so far unopposed in his race. He says many new candidates won seats in the 2014 election, and he expects some to return to the ballot in 2018.
Only ones that wasn't replaced was the county clerk, circuit clerk, and the PBA. I think there'd be a big ballot. I really think there'd be a lot of people file.
Johnston said although only 30% of Carter County voters showed up at the polls during the 2016 presidential election, he expects at least 50% in 2018.
A Bracken County bus driver has been recognized for saving a child's life. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
If it weren't for bus driver Garland Davis, one young student may not have escaped a near-death experience. On October 17th, 10-year-old Bryce Polly was waiting for the bus to take him to school when a car rushed past the bus's flashing stop sign. Davis immediately began honking and yelling at Polly to stop him from crossing. According to Davis, Polly's mother was standing by the boy and was able to pull him back to safety before the car came through. During the district's board meeting on Monday, Davis was commended by Superintendent Jeff Olick for his efforts and received a certificate for his commitment to child safety. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
The rebuilding process continues for West Liberty in the wake of a March 2012 tornado that killed six people, injured dozens, and destroyed most of the city's downtown. Mayor Mark Walter says those who haven't seen West Liberty since the disaster would be amazed by the progress that's been made in rebuilding it. However, Walter says the next step is to replace the several businesses that were ruined by the twister and never returned. According to the mayor, the city's downtown will never again feature the department stores and five and dimes that it did in the past, so locals will have to recruit other kinds of businesses to fill its vacancies.
If you live in nostalgia and want to go back, you would long for those things. And we're no different than any small town that has lost the downtown appeal. And we're working toward that, and we really want to strive to bring the business back to downtown and still focus on all of our other avenues of West Liberty.
Walter says the successful effort to rebuild West Liberty is a credit to the spirit, determination, and teamwork displayed by the city's residents.
The Mason County Library isn't going anywhere. After months of talks, the library's Board of Trustees has decided to renovate its current structure in downtown Maysville rather than build a new facility on the outskirts of the city. Director Valerie Zimter admits she's happy the matter has finally been decided.
Oh, yes. Because, you know, you always shelve a number of projects until the foundations are laid. You know, there are always things that you can't do until you know for sure if you're going to be in that place.
Zimter says the library already has the estimated $3.7 million needed for its upgrades, which will include a 5,000-square-foot addition. After a soil study is completed, the library board will hire an architect to design the renovations. No timeline has yet been established for starting the project.
The Kentucky Career Center TENCO will hold a job fair tomorrow in Mount Sterling. TENCO spokesman Jason Sloan says the event will take place at the Montgomery County campus of Maysville Community and Technical College.
Basically, it is a job fair that's centering around a lot of the manufacturing and the healthcare sectors. We have about 14 employers, and it's open to the public from noon till 4:30, so we encourage anyone in the area that's job-seeking and looking for opportunities in those fields to be able to come out and speak directly with these employers as they have openings they are trying to fill.
Sloan advises those seeking jobs to dress for success and to bring a resume. He says you should also try to do some research on companies that you plan to talk with. For more information, go to their website, TENCOCareerCenter.com. Taking a look at the weather for the rest of this week. Tonight, periods of showers, mainly before 8 p.m., low around 40, chance of precipitation is 80%. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 47. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 57. Friday night, a 20% chance of showers after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 47. And Saturday, showers mainly afternoon, high near 62. Chance of precipitation is 80%. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 57 degrees in Inez, 56 degrees in Ashland, 53 degrees here in Moorhead, 50 degrees in Flemingsburg and Winchester, and 49 degrees in Lexington.
On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. This afternoon, Adrian has invited back Sylvia Hinnenberg to discuss issues common to many immigrants and to reflect on her role as a university professor.
As positive as I feel about Germany, France, and America, as much as I love all these places, I don't feel at home anywhere. I feel like an outsider everywhere. I think I am different in big ways and in little ways. I cannot banter the way others can because I'm missing out on crucial years of cultural context. References to movies, references to TV shows, references to politicians. So, you know, that makes me sort of less funny and less spontaneous. At the same time, it's a source of enrichment because you have a built-in comparative lens and a built-in critical distance to almost anything that comes your way. Nothing is ever absolute. You always immediately bring in something similar that happened elsewhere. And I think you're less prone to problematic generalizations about cultures, about people, about phenomena, because you've just really seen it pan out differently elsewhere. You know that the same values are not shared everywhere necessarily. Yeah, and the other thing that is both difficult and very enriching is just the linguistic ability. So there's one way to look at me that suggests that, oh my, she's very nimble with her languages. You know, she's got quite the vocabulary, and moreover, she can do that in, you know, 3.5 languages. I'll trip up in all 3 languages easily. And then just when you think you have it, you've risen to a certain level, then your toilet breaks. And then there are at least, you know, 10 pieces in your toilet for which you don't know the name and you've never heard the name that you're reading about because you're trying to fix your toilet. What's a flange? That's a word that you don't learn when you're just studying English or English literature. And it seems like a bottomless pit, and you will never get there in one language, let alone several. I think one of the most important things as a professor is to be a role model. I think the content is plenty important, but almost more important than the content that you impart in your lectures is who you are. How do you comport yourself? What do you do professionally? What are you involved in? What kind of feedback are you giving to the students? They see it's possible to teach English, although you're German, because you really wanted to. They see it's possible to live here, although you're not from here. They see it's possible to maybe get to know a different culture, even for a little while. And, you know, I'm kind of modeling those things when I advise students during my study abroad sessions or when I just talk to students on an everyday basis. Now I'm also modeling that you can do that although you're a woman. All of those things feel good, and all of those things I think are important. But I mean, I also have to check myself, because I know that I had a privileged upbringing, and not all of our students do. And so what was possible for me will not be possible for everybody, and I have to keep that in mind, because sometimes I get carried away with my enthusiasm, that there are real limitations that students face or that people face.
I know. Well, I have led a charmed life. I've had opportunities far beyond my worthiness to receive them.
I think we all feel that way.
Yeah. And if you have those opportunities, then it's incumbent on you to make the most of them and to try to do something good with them, I think. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
It was a great pleasure, Adrian. Thank you.
It's 4:48 and 51 degrees in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Logan Pemberton, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this soggy Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, sponsor of the annual Moorhead-Rowan County Community Christmas Dinner, 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Community Center, and the annual Community Christmas Parade on Main Street at 6 p.m. on Friday, December 8th. Details and more information from the City of Moorhead at 606-784-8505 and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Eagles get an historic win. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. Braxton Howard, the Moorhead State women's basketball team moved to 2-1 on the year earlier today with a 120-41 win over Brescia. The win comes following the Eagles' 68-60 loss at home to Gardner-Webb on Monday. Head coach Greg Todd was obviously pretty pleased with how his team responded.
I thought we played hard, played pretty well, coming off of a subpar game for us at home. I thought we did some nice things. We shared the ball. I think had 35 assists, eight turnovers. We shot the three-point ball better, so it's good.
Tierra McGowan's 26 points and 20 rebounds led MSU. The Eagles as a team pulled down 81 rebounds. The win was the Eagles' largest margin of victory in program history. The Moorhead State men's basketball team plays its home opener tomorrow night as the Eagles square off with longtime rival Marshall at 7. With a roster packed with freshmen and sophomores, MSU coach Preston Spradlin says that his young group is learning that its best chance to win is to play together.
Our individual pieces, although talented, the inexperienced piece, we can't go out there and just win a game on our own, so we got to do it together.
MSU and Marshall have been playing basketball against each other since 1939. The Herd beat the Eagles last season in Huntington. Tomorrow is a wideout and Greek night at Johnson Arena. The first 500 fans will receive a free One Town, One Team t-shirt. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is proud of how his young Wildcats hung tough in last night's 65-61 loss to fourth-ranked Kansas in the Champions Classic in Chicago. While they played hard, Calipari said they also made it evident that they still have a lot to learn about the game.
Like passes. Why would you throw it there? Just throw it here to there to there. Well, I could make that pass. Well, it was turned over. We had 18 turnovers today, and most of them were not like forced turnovers. They were like us trying to make a hard play, which is what freshmen do.
Kevin Knox had a game-high 20 points for 2-1 Kentucky in the loss. The number 7 Cats host East Tennessee State on Friday. The Kentucky basketball team did win on the recruiting side of things yesterday, however. Four-star shooting guard Tyler Hero committed to the Cats over Wisconsin and Arizona. He tells WLEX Kentucky felt like the perfect fit for him.
Just being there last weekend on my official, building a relationship with Coach Cal and really the whole relationship, especially Coach Payne, you know, just being able to go there. And I think, you know, they told me I can play right away, contribute. They need someone like me. So, I mean, going there and doing my thing and hopefully they can, you know, help me reach my goals.
The commitment gives Kentucky the number 2 ranked 2018 class in the country. Now that UCLA freshmen LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill are back in the United States after being held in China for shoplifting, we know what disciplinary actions they face from UCLA. Bruins coach Steve Alford spoke at a press conference earlier today.
These are good young men who have exercised an inexcusable lapse of judgment. These young men are going to have to prove their words and actions that this isn't who they are. They're going to have to regain the trust of this athletic department, of this university. These three young men will remain suspended indefinitely from our program. During that indefinite suspension, they will not travel with the team, nor will they suit up for home games. At some point, they may be permitted to join team workouts, practices, and meetings, but that timeline has yet to be determined.
The three freshmen were caught stealing sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store next to the team's hotel in China. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier admits it's been a disappointing season for his 3-7 Eagles, but he would like to end things on a high note. Tenier says he wants a great effort from his players this Saturday when MSU hosts Davidson in its final game of the year. For 13 Morehead seniors, it will be their final appearance in blue and gold.
I'm not sure I'd like to send the seniors out with a W, that's for sure. So it's going to be a big week, important week. It's going to be an emotional week for our seniors, for our staff. And so we're going to enjoy it. We're going to work hard. We're going to rebound from this and find a way to win that last game.
Saturday's game at Jane Stadium kicks off at 1 p.m. Round County football coach Kelly Ford insists that the best is yet to come for his program. Although the Vikings went 3-8 this year, Ford says the roster featured a talented group of freshmen and sophomores who understand they have the potential to do some great things if they just stick together.
They've got that swag that they know how to win football games. I mean, they've got a freshman championship. They got an eighth grade championship. And, you know, they've got some championships on their belt. They know what they can be. And, you know, the thing about it, like I said, is accountability of just showing up and being at the right place at the right time.
Ford just completed his first season as Rounds football coach. Finally, in sports, it's a well-known fact that the Cincinnati Reds will be looking for pitching next month at baseball's winter meetings. However, MLB Reds beat reporter Mark Sheldon thinks the Reds have a building block in soon-to-be 25-year-old right-hander Luis Castillo, who showed this past summer that he's a budding ace for the starting rotation.
What was really impressive, besides the fact that he could throw 98 to 100 miles an hour, was that he has a full mix of stuff in command of it. He, you know, went into the year with really two pitches, a fastball and a changeup, a 14 fastball and a changeup. He added the slider while he was in Double-A. He's definitely going to be someone to watch in 2018.
Castillo had a record of just 3-7 last season, but had an ERA of 3.12 with 98 strikeouts and 89 and one-third innings. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes Marshall at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Women's basketball is home with North Florida at 6 p.m. on Thursday, and football hosts Davidson at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed lower as the current bull market showed signs of slowing down. And, of course, weighing on stocks today was a combination of weaker energy prices as well as geopolitical pressure from Washington. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 138.19 at 23,271.28. The S&P 500 was down 14.25 at 2564.62. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 31.66 at 6706.21. Oil prices declined after the International Energy Agency slashed its outlook for oil demand growth by 100,000 barrels per day for both 2017 and 2018. And as such, energy was the worst performing sector among the S&P sectors today, declining 1.2%. Consumer discretionary stocks also fell 0.4%, led lower by Target as the retailer stock dropped nearly 10% as its holiday forecast disappointed investors. And in Washington, a revised version of the Senate's tax plan now includes a measure that effectively repeals a law requiring most Americans to buy health insurance or pay a tax penalty. And the House is also set to vote on its own tax bill tomorrow. And equities took a leg lower after Republican Senator Ron Johnson announced his opposition to the Senate tax plan as currently written. The Wisconsin legislator is the first GOP senator to voice explicit opposition to the proposal. Johnson's objection stems from his feeling that the plan disproportionately favors corporations. Economic news, retail sales rose 0.2% last month, and economists going into the report expected them to remain unchanged, and also the consumer price index edged up 0.1% in October. And this was in line with expectations. And in the commodities markets, oil was down 0.8%, as mentioned, very weak, finishing at $55.25 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,278.70 an ounce. Overseas stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index in Europe down 0.5%. And in the Far East, the Nikkei index was down 1.5%, and the Hang Seng index was down 1%. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were GE and Nike, and the worst performers were Caterpillar and Visa. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Alaska Air and Foot Locker, and the worst performers were Target and Advance Auto Parts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 25 cents at $66.92, CSX down 77 cents at $48.63, AK Steel up 23 cents at $4.37, Marathon Petroleum down 96 cents at $61.51, AEP down 80 cents at $76.59, and Kroger was down 42 cents to finish at $21.60. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking another look at the weather for the rest of this week. Tonight, periods of showers, mainly before 8 p.m., low around 40. Chance of precipitation is 80%. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 47. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 30. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 57. Friday night, a 20% chance of showers after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 47. Saturday, showers, mainly afternoon, high near 62. Chance of precipitation is 80%.
Taking a look at some events in your region, the Rowan County Arts Center will host a reception for the opening of the Shape of Things photography exhibit by James Knoll. The reception will be held during Moorhead's hometown holidays from 5 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, December 2nd. Refreshments will be served. The event is free and open to the public. That's going to do it today for Mountain Edition. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Kinsey Thompson, Jacob Lindberg, Cody Robinson, Brian Courtney, and Braxton Howard. KNN's Paul Miles and the Kentucky News Connection's Mary Sherman both chipped in, and our feature segment today came from Neighbors with Adrian Swain. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.